Welcome, everyone, to episode 4 of Joe Van Reed's Wikipedia. Why am I still doing this? Why not? I figured in this episode, I'm going to read the section of Wikipedia about solipsism. I figured it'd be a good topic because I'm always all alone in my room when I'm reading these wiki things. So I thought it'd be a good idea to jump into it. So without further ado, if y'all got your thinking caps on, we're going to jump into solipsism. So not to be confused with solecism. Excuse my French. Solecism is its own thing. All right, good to know. Solipsism, from Latin solus, meaning alone, and ipse, meaning self. It is the philosophical idea that only one's own mind is sure to exist. As an epistemological position, solipsism holds that knowledge of anything outside of one's own mind is unsure. The external world and other minds cannot be known and might not exist outside the mind. As a metaphysical position, solipsism goes further to the conclusion that the world and other minds do not exist. This extreme position is claimed to be irrefutable, as the solipsist believes himself to be the only true authority, all others being creations of their own mind. I think that's also called narcissism, but, you know, it doesn't say that in the wiki. Varieties. There are varying degrees of solipsism that parallel the varying degrees of skepticism. So first, the metaphysical solipsism. Main article? We won't go there today. Metaphysical solipsism is a variety of solipsism. Based on the philosophy of subjective idealism, metaphysical solipsists maintain that the self is the only existing reality and that all other realities, including the external world and other persons, are representations of that self and have no independent existence. That's kind of like some people when they see a person on a street and they're like, you know, they have like a weird shape to them and you wonder what's under their clothes. It could be nothing. Anyway, back to the wiki. There are several versions of metaphysical solipsism, such as Caspar Hare's egocentric presentism, or perspectival realism, in which other people are conscious, but their experiences are simply not present. Next section of the varieties, epistemological solipsism. Epistemological solipsism is the variety of idealism according to which only the directly accessible mental contents of the solipsistic philosopher can be known. The existence of an external world is regarded as an unresolvable question, rather than actually false. Further, one cannot also be certain as to what extent the external world exists independently of one's mind. So that's an argument a lot of flat earthers use. Well, I've never been to space. It's, in a way, they're kind of, you know, going with the whole, I don't know. They don't trust anybody kind of thing. But I think it's also like really, you have to experience every single possible thing. I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, people will be people, I guess. For instance, it may be that a godlike being controls the sensations received by one's brain, making it appear as if there is an external world when most of it, including the godlike being and oneself, is false. However, the point remains that epistemological solipsism considers this an unresolvable question. Yes, because it's not paradoxical, it's just, you might as well be like, hey, aren't there leprechauns too? It's just, it's technically possible, you know, because it's, what are you going to do, check every single corner of the universe? Didn't think so. God of the Gaps theory, I think that's called. Anyway, back to the wiki. Next section, methodological solipsism. Methodological solipsism is an agnostic variant of solipsism. It exists in opposition to the strict epistemological requirements for knowledge, e.g. the requirement that knowledge must be certain. It still entertains the points that any induction is fallible. Methodological solipsism sometimes goes even further to say that even what we perceive as the brain is actually part of the external world, for it is only through our senses that we can see or feel the mind. Only the existence of thoughts is known for certain. Importantly, methodological solipsists do not intend to conclude that the stronger forms of solipsism are actually true. They simply emphasize that justifications of an external world must be founded on indisputable facts about their own consciousness. The methodological solipsists believe that subjective impressions, impressicism, or innate knowledge, rationalism, are the sole possible or proper starting point for philosophical construction. Often methodological solipsism is not held as a belief system, but rather used as a thought experiment to assist skepticism. And the example they give is Descartes' Cartesian skepticism. I probably said that wrong. Regardless, moving on to the next section, main points. Denial of material existence in itself does not constitute solipsism. A feature of the metaphysical solipsistic worldview is the denial of the existence of other minds. Since personal experiences are private and ineffable, other beings' experiences can be known only by analogy. Philosophers try to build knowledge on more than an inference or analogy. The failure of Descartes' epistemological enterprise brought to popularity the idea that all certain knowledge may go no further than I think, therefore I exist, without providing any details about the nature of the I that has been proven to exist. The theory of solipsism also merits close examination because it relates to three widely held philosophical presuppositions, each itself fundamental and wide-ranging in importance. 1. The most certain knowledge of the content of my own mind, my thoughts, experiences, effects, etc. 2. There is no conceptual or logically necessary link between mental and physical, between, say, the occurrence of certain conscious experience or mental states and the possession or behavioral disposition of a body of a particular kind. And 3. The experience of a given person is necessarily private to that person. To expand on point 2 a little further, the conceptual problem is that the previous assumes mind or consciousness, which are attributes, can exist independently of some entity having its capability, i.e., that an attribute of an existent can exist apart from the existent itself. If one admits to the existence of an independent entity, e.g. your brain, having that attribute, the door is open. See the brain in a vat. Obviously, brain in the vat, it's the inspiration behind the Matrix concept as well. Just on a more dystopian level, the brain in the vat doesn't specifically go into dystopia or the outside world of why that brain is a vat. The brain in the vat is also, and this is just me talking now, it's similar to the simulation theory, except the simulation theory obviously builds more on the external reason for why a brain would be in a vat, hypothetically speaking. Because it wouldn't be a brain, it would just be consciousness, and it wouldn't be a vat, it would be a computer system, or some sort of virtual system, and not actually real reality. But that thought experiment just, it's a never-ending tier list. It's kind of like God, where it's like, what created everything? Except this time it's, what is reality? It's a simulation. Okay, who created that simulation? You go, it's aliens. And you go, what if those aliens, like, what are they? They're in the real world? How do they know? What if that's a simulation? And then, okay, then who created that simulation? What if they're in a simulation? Who created that simulation? What if there isn't a simulation, you know? And it goes on for infinity. So it's like the Occam's razor is just that there's no simulation, that this is just it. You know, there's no intent. There's no design behind it. It's just patterns. It's like, what did it say? Art imitating life? It's kind of like that, except it's humans confusing patterns with intelligence, I guess. So, anyway. Back to the wiki. Where did I leave off? See the brain in the vet. On to the next paragraph. Some people hold that, while it cannot be proven that anything independent of one's own mind exists, the point that solecism makes is irrelevant. This is because, whether the world as we perceive it exists independently or not, we cannot escape this perception, except via death. Hence, it is best to act assuming that the world is independent of our minds. For example, if one commits a crime, one is likely to be punished, causing potential distress to oneself, even if the world was not independent of one's mind. Therefore, it is in one's best interest and is most convenient to assume the world exists independently of one's mind. Yadoi. There is also the issue of plausibility to consider. If one is the only mind in existence, then one is maintaining that one's mind alone created all of which one is apparently aware. This includes the symphonies of Beethoven, the works of Shakespeare, all of the mathematics and sciences which one can access via one's phantom libraries. So obviously this was written a while ago, but also cell phones, and that they can't even properly understand sometimes. They go, what does that mean? That's too smart for me, etc. Back to the wiki. Critics of solipsism find this somewhat implausible. However, since, for example, people are able to construct entire worlds inside their minds while having dreams when asleep, and people have had dreams which include things such as music of Beethoven in the works of Shakespeare, or math or science in them, solipsists do have counterarguments to justify their views being plausible. Well, there you go. That's not the whole Wikipedia page. It continues with the history and the relation to other ideas, but I'm just going to leave it there. Again, this is just food for thought, so of course, if you guys are interested in this idea and you think it's extremely fascinating, like I do, Google solipsism, spelled S-O-L-I-P-S-I-S-M, and you can read the entire thing there, and then obviously there's just hyperlinks galore over any interesting word that you might find, and then you can sort of go down the rabbit hole if you're so inclined. But anyway, yeah, that's it for this episode. Hope you guys had fun. I know I sure did. And, you know, if I see you again, I will, but if not, you won't. Because I'm not making any plans with this little sub-series I'm making. I'm just having fun. So with that, I will leave you guys, and hope you have a good day. Bye-bye.